This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, filling in for Terry Gross. Actress Maria Bello has earned praise from critics and film buffs for years, but she became more widely known to movie audiences last year with her edgy performance in the David Cronenberg film, A History of Violence. Her other films include Thank You for Smoking, The Cooler, Autofocus, and Payback. Bello co-stars in the new Oliver Stone film, World Trade Center. It's based on the true story of two Port Authority police officers trapped alive under the collapsed towers and their families' anguish as they await word on the officers' fates. In this scene from later in the film, Bello, playing Donna McLaughlin, enters a police station after being told that her husband is fine.
Hi, where's John McLaughlin?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
He's alive, but I'm afraid there's been a mistake.
Mistake?
When they called me, they really thought John walked out. He didn't. He's still trapped. They're working on it.
Is he hurt, Dad?
Oh. This is not right. This is not right! He gave you everything, years of his life, and you can't even get this right! Where is he? I'm going down there.
I'm sorry, Miss McLaughlin. It's too dangerous.
Where are they taking him?
Bellevue.
Thank you.
World Trade Center opens today. Maria Bello told me she was in New York on the day of the September 11th attacks.
Well, we were on the Upper West Side for a movie premiere. I was there with my six-month-old baby and his father and my parents, who are from Norristown. I walked down to the newsstand to get a pack of cigarettes, and it was bizarrely quiet. And this woman turned to me and said, I haven't smoked for 11 years. Can I have a cigarette? And I said, why? And she said, well, a plane just flew through the World Trade Center. So we ran back upstairs and saw the second plane go through. And they came on the news asking for nurses and doctors to come downtown. And my mother's a nurse, and she's an incredibly brave and positive woman. We hopped on an ambulance, went downtown. And she worked at St. Vincent's all day waiting for people to come in who never came. It was a very sad morning, and like everyone in the whole world, we didn't understand exactly what was going on.
You play Donna McLaughlin, who is the wife of a Port Authority policeman, played by Nicolas Cage. And the story is of what happens to him that day. He becomes trapped and faces a desperate situation, and you, as his wife, have the anguish of wondering, as did thousands of relatives that day, of what was going on. How did you prepare for that role? How did you learn the story?
I like to say that Donna and I got to know each other by doing the dishes. I went to her house in Goshen, Long Island, and they just invited us with open arms and open hearts, Nick and Oliver and myself and the producers. And they had a full spread out. John made his famous steak on the grill. And I immediately got behind the counter and started doing dishes because it reminded me of my family's house in Philly. And that's right. What we do. The women gather in the kitchen. We do the dishes together. The kids are running around. The dogs are running around. We put out the dessert. And the men are sitting over there in their corner. So we started sharing stories, Donna and I, about our lives and our hopes and our dreams and about that day and what happened that day. And she's the wife of a cop, had been a wife of a cop for 20 years or so. So every day he left for work, she thought this could be the last day. And in the beginning of the day, it was sort of like any other that, you know, all of us in the world were sitting there waiting, saying, wait, what's going on exactly? No one quite understood it, but she knew that her most important job was to keep her kids settled and safe and to let them know that everything was okay. She reminded me so much of my own mother. If you look at my mom online and look at the film, I look exactly like her. Huh. It's as if I'm playing my mother, so half my mother, half Donna. I got the accent. I gained some weight to get that sort of softness feel. So it was an internal movement and an external movement. And it took some days to sort of drop into it, drop into the accent, drop into her mannerisms. And I feel like I'll never be able to do her justice.
You said you gained weight for the part?
I did, yeah.
What'd you do?
Ate a lot of pasta and bread and gained a nice 10 pounds.
Have you ever done that for a role before?
You know, I play with my weight a lot in roles. Like for History of Violence, I went down 10 pounds. For this one, I went up 10 pounds. Because in History of Violence, it was all about anxiety. You know, she was just on edge all of the time. So right. I thought that would lend itself. This one, portraying this character, was more about roundness and softness and nurturing. So I think I do it more for myself than for the screen because it helps me to tap into a character.
You know, you're a mom. Your son is five.
He is five, and he just learned to fart under his arm. He's very excited. That's his big claim to fame right now.
Building those skill sets that will really stand you well in grade school. I wonder if you think you could have played the role differently before you were a mom. I mean, if being a mom and kind of feeling that sense of what it's like to have to protect a young one informed that performance.
I'll tell you what, since I had my child, I did The Cooler, History of Violence, and this movie. And I could have never done them before I was a mother. I've never felt more fear and more love in my life as the night I gave birth to my son. It was 22 hours in a thunderstorm. I gave birth to him at home in our house in Los Angeles. And I'll just never forget that moment of loving someone so much and being so afraid that anything would ever happen to them. So I feel like that informs every role that I do now.
Well, A History of Violence was a film that you got enormous praise. It was a big role for you. And I thought we would hear a clip from the film. Maybe tell us a little bit about your character that you play, Edie Stahl.
Edie Stahl is the wife of Tom Stahl. We live in a very simple Midwestern city. And no, town. It's more of a town.
Right.
We own a diner. And one day, these bad guys show up. The bad guy played by Ed Harris, and say that my husband is someone other than he appears to be, and I don't believe him. And this is a scene where I'm in a mall shopping for shoes with my daughter, and he confronts me with this news.
Right. And we'll just mention also that one of the reasons they found your husband was that there was a terrible incident in his restaurant in which he heroically killed a couple of bad guys who were terrorizing customers. So here's the scene where you're interacting with Ed Harris, who was playing Carl Fogarty, a bad dude looking for your husband.
Nothing to worry about, Mrs. Stahl. I've been watching over her.
You stay the away from my family, son.
There's no need for that kind of language, Mrs. Stahl.
Listen to me. I don't know what you want, and I don't really care.
You should care about what I want, Mrs. Stahl, because I want something from your husband that might affect you, might change your life.
My husband does not know you. He wouldn't know you, somebody like you.
Oh, he knows Carl Fogarty, all right. He knows me intimately. See, this isn't a completely dead eye. It still works a bit. Problem is, the only thing I can see with it is Joey Cusack. And it can see right through him. Right through your husband, Edie. See what's inside him, what makes him tick. He's still the same guy. He's still crazy Joey. And you know it, don't you?
I know that my husband is Tom Stahl. That's what I know.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, why don't you ask Tom about his older brother, Richie?
He does.
Ask Tom about how he tried to rip my eye out with barbed wire. And ask him, Edie, how come he's so good at killing people?
If I see you within 500 feet of me or my children or my husband, I'll have you arrested. Can I possibly make myself any clearer than that?
No, Mrs. Stahl, you can't. I thank you for your time. You have an enchanting daughter.
And that's our guest, Maria Bello, with Ed Harris in the film A History of Violence. That is an intense scene. He still scares me.
He scared the hell out of me, let me tell you. In the middle of that scene, I was kind of out to lunch that day. I had so much stuff going on in my personal life and my professional life, and I was trying to concentrate on the scene, and I lost my concentration. And at one point, we're in the middle of the scene, and I say, I hear you. And he said, still staying in character, Ed goes, no, you don't. You're not even listening to me. And I went, oh, my God. I got so scared. But then he made me keep in the scene. So I kept in the scene, and we just kept at it. And I think that's the take that they used finally.
Yeah. You said you're a method actor. You really get involved in this. I mean, this film was this role was so intense and so many dark moments. Did it stay in your head when you were filming it?
It sure did. After History of Violence, I think I was in bed for about 3 months. Not actually, but it felt like that. I was wrecked from the intense anxiety that I had to play every day as I played Edie. And we got very close on the set, Vigo and David, and I really trusted them. They're really great men. And so they made it easier, but at the same time, I found myself just not being able to sleep and losing weight and taking that character home with me. Trying not to, because my 5-year-old was with me some of the time, but it always seems to happen.
Do you have any ways to decompress, take your mind off of it?
I would go home on weekends back to Los Angeles to see my boy a lot of weekends. And I'd be coming home on the plane on Sunday, and I would think of recipes in my head. I would say, what would I put with white beans? I'd put cilantro with white beans. And what else? I'd put sausage with it. So I'd get home and have my driver stop at a grocery store. I'd get all the fixings for the night, and I would make these big vats of soup or stew or sauce, and I'd bring them to set the next day for my cohorts. That's how I unwound.
Just to be normal again, to be Maria
and
not Edie. Yeah.
And there's something about chopping vegetables that's a very zen act. And I still do it to this day. My son and I made meatballs. My mom's homemade meatballs the other day and baked ziti and some sauce. And he loves to be in the kitchen as well.
I wanted to ask you, one of the scenes that has been talked about and written about so much in A History of Violence is the sex scene on the stairwell.
Yeah.
There's another one earlier in the film, which is also a very memorable sex scene, which is completely different. In the first one, you don a cheerleader's outfit and sort
rah,
of
rah, shish kumbha, whatever Vigo says.
Yeah, and you create this fantasy for your husband. You're completely in control. And then at a point later in the film, the relationship has changed completely, and it's a violent encounter. And you bring a lot psychologically. I mean, physically, of course. I mean, there's a lot of physical demands in those scenes. But I wonder if you bring so much psychologically to kind of the perspective that you have with Vigo Mortensen, your husband. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about shooting those scenes and kind of how you got into that mindset.
Well, David put those two scenes in the film to show the dichotomy of the sexual being and the power.
David Cronenberg, the director.
The dichotomy of the power struggle in relationships of a male and female. So in that beginning scene, in the cheerleading scene, she's more in control, as you said. She's the one who, you know, pushes the envelope and starts the fantasy and gets him going, and she's in control. In the second scene, she completely loses control. And it's on the stairs when they start fighting. He stops for a minute. He's not going to go there. And she's the one that pulls him towards her. She's felt something in herself, an animal feeling that she's never felt before. And by recognizing his shadow self, she taps into her own and is all at once exhilarated by it and terrified of it, which I think many of us are. And a lot of us never get to a point in our lives where we get to experience that part of ourselves. And finally she does and surrenders to it.
That's a psychologically really demanding kind of set of things to work on, while it's also physically demanding. I mean, you were, particularly the second one, really rough.
It was really rough. I mean, that day Vigo and I were just at each other because we were so nervous about what we were doing and how to play this exactly. And we're both sort of method in that way. And the stairs didn't have any carpeting on them. And we did one take without the carpet. And it was such a great take, we had to do the rest of the day like that. A day and a half shooting that scene. I mean, I was black and blue and purple for 3 weeks afterwards with lumps and bumps all over me. I somehow bit the inside of Vigo's lip. He had a huge welt on his elbow, and we were just a mess. But in the end, we were really pleased with the scene.
You know, the other scene I wanted to ask you about was the film's final scene, at which you and your two children are at the dinner table, and your husband, Tom Stahl, played by Vigo Mortensen, returns after some difficult events, and it's not clear whether the family can reconcile. I don't think there's even any dialogue.
There's no dialogue in that
complete
scene.
Complete quiet. Tell us a little bit about how you created what was supposed to happen there. I mean, and it's really not clear whether the reconciliation occurs, I think, is it?
It was such an emotional day for us shooting that last scene. David Cronenberg shot it on the last week of filming, and we had really become a family with Heidi and Ashton and Vigo and myself. And we got to that set on the day, and we were all so emotional. I don't think we stopped crying the whole day, all of us, because we knew it was the breakup of our family as a movie family, and also the breakup of our family, the Stahl family. And so David was sure to do it with no words at all. We had to do everything through our actions. And we said to David, so what do we do? How do we play it? And he said, I don't know. You've been playing these characters for 3 months. You'll know what to do. And so we just very silently Ashton decided to pass the food. Heidi decided to eat her cereal. I decided to pray. And when I looked up at Vigo, whatever was registering there was registering. And I like that it ends on that note, that you're not sure exactly what was happening, but there is a glimmer of hope, and you think this family might make it.
We're speaking with Maria Bello. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is actress Maria Bello. She co-stars in the new Oliver Stone film, World Trade Center. Another role that you got a lot of praise for was the film The Cooler, and I thought we'd listen to a little bit of that. This is a film set in Las Vegas where you are a cocktail waitress, Natalie, kind of whose life isn't too together. You have a relationship with William H. Macy, who plays something called a cooler, which I didn't know existed, but he's somebody whose job it is in casinos to spread bad luck when someone is winning at the tables. And right. Your character is particularly interested in astrology, and this is a scene in a coffee shop where you are getting to know Bernie, right? Is the character? So this is
I'm excited to listen to this because I haven't heard it for such a long
time. Great. All right. So this is our guest, Maria Bello, with William H. Macy in the film The Cooler.
Your progressed Venus is in Gemini, 12.5 degrees, and is in direct motion, which means you're a slow starter when it comes to romance. Sorry. You know what? This is real unprofessional of me. I shouldn't discuss your chart with you till I'm all done. But I can tell by the look on your face that you think this is all a lot of BS.
No. I know what the outcome's gonna be.
There's not like one particular outcome. A lot of things come into the picture, like the planets, the moon
phases. The outcome won't change with me. It'll be all bad.
Oh, my God. I have never met anyone who was so down on themselves.
Do you know what I do at the Shangri-La?
Hi, Esteran. You're a cooler. You turn winners into losers.
Do you know how I do that?
Listen, I know there's a lot of stuff that happens in casinos all the time.
I do it by being myself. People get next to me, their luck turns. It's always been that way.
Well, that sounds like a self-fulfilling prophecy to me. There's a whole chapter of that in my book.
I only got 6 more days. Well, really, almost 5. I'm leaving town.
Only 5 more days? Then we shouldn't waste any more time.
That's our guest, Maria Bello, with William H. Macy in the film The Cooler. Tell us a little bit about inhabiting that character, Natalie.
Well, first of all, I'd like to hear my Philadelphia accent since I'm back in Philly. Second of all, I had such a beautiful friendship, love affair, you know, with William H. Macy. I just think he's the most incredible, incredible actor, an incredible man. And we had such a fun time together. We shot that movie in 23 days, I think. And talk about living a story. We just lived it every single minute. We were shooting 16-hour days and not sleeping very much. And I had a 1-year-old baby. And it was a crazy time. But creatively, it was so much fun. The director just really let us play and really go out there and really explore these characters on a really deep level.
Let's talk a little bit about your life. You grew up in a working-class suburb of Philadelphia, right? Was it Norristown?
I did, in Norristown.
Dad was a construction worker. Mom was a nurse.
That's right.
You went to Catholic school, then the University of Villanova. And if I've read this right, we're studying law and political science, and then got the acting bug and put your clothes in a plastic bag and headed to New York. Is that really what happened?
You know the whole story then. I was a pre-law major at Villanova University, and someone said I could take an acting class as an elective. And I remember turning to them and saying, don't you have to sing or dance or something? I always thought actors had to be born and raised in Hollywood, though I was a kid who was always playing dress-up since I was tiny. And I was completely immersed in reading. I started reading when I was 4 years old, started reading novels, and always wanted to be the characters in the books. So I took this acting class, and I just fell in love with it. And in an instant, I knew it was what I was supposed to be doing. And I did move to New York City with 2 trash bags filled with clothes and $300. I knew no one.
You know, I'd read that you had a hard time and that people said, you know, you didn't have talent. And it was interesting to me because as I watched a lot of your performances in recent years to get ready, I mean, it is really striking how completely you inhabit characters at all moments, how convincing you are. And I was trying to picture you being terrible. And I'm wondering, maybe it's hard to put into words, but what was it you didn't get back then? How did you get better? Was it experience? Was it good directors? Was it classes?
I think I got better through experience in life. I also had a fantastic teacher in New York City called Fred Karaman that basically taught me to leave myself alone. It's easy to watch yourself in terms of you're talking to another person. Instead of focusing on the other person, you're being self-conscious and focusing on yourself. What he taught us in a moment-to-moment exercise was to get outside of yourself, to focus on the other person, to listen and to respond to what they're saying. And I use that in my life as well as my work. And as soon as I'm able to get outside of myself, my life is so much better.
Well, Maria Bella, thanks so much for spending some time with us.
Oh, it was really fun to be here. Thank you for having me.
Actress Maria Bello. She's appearing in the new Oliver Stone film World Trade Center. It opens today. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air.